The series this month has been Back to Basics. Back to the Basics. And the subtitle tonight is The Providence of God at Work in All Creation. Providence at Work in All of Creation. Okay. Well, the text is in Deuteronomy 10, verse 14. Let me give you a little bit of a background on Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is the second law giving. The first generation of Israelites in the wilderness had pretty much died out, and Moses was giving the law a second time to the newer generation. They had just about completed their journeying in the wilderness, about to enter the promised land. And Moses was recounting in Deuteronomy some of the experiences of the earlier generation. And this is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. But before that, let's back up two verses. We'll read it in context. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 22. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Verse 14, the key verse. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Verse 15. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Verse 16 of Deuteronomy 10. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widows and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. Verse 19, and you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him, hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is your praise, he is your God, who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Verse 22, your forefathers who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. And the key verse is Deuteronomy 10, verse 14. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Why is it that the heavens, the universe, and the earth, and everything in it belongs to God? Why is it? Because he made it. He created it all. He created the entire universe. He created the planets. He created this earth. He created you and me. And in Haggai 2, verse 8, it says that all the silver and the gold is mine, says the Lord. Let me give you a side note here. If anybody ever out there has ever told you that God does not exist, or you've read it in the media, in some newspaper, in some book, and it's put doubt in your mind about the existence of God, it's a lie from the devil. Because you can look at the heavens, you can look at the sky, you can look at the beauty of creation. You can look at nature, the trees and the flowers and the grass. You can look at the complexity of the human body, and you have to know that behind that creation, there is a creator. Amen? And his name is God, creator of heaven and earth. You just look at the beauty of the sky, the blue sky and the sun, and you look at the beauty of the grass and the trees. You look at your own human body and see how complex it is, how complicated it is. And you know that behind it, there is a creator. Amen? Amen? Never let anybody or anything sow any doubt into your mind about the existence of God. God is alive and well. He exists. He's out there. He's also involved in the small details of your life. He cares for you. And the providence of God is seen in all of creation. God is in charge and cares for every detail of the universe and this world. Let me say it again. God is in charge and cares for every detail in this universe and in this earth. As I said, look at the beauty of creation. Look at the human body. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 shows how God is in control. Genesis 8, verse 22, after the flood, God speaks, and he says this. He says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. As long as the earth endures, what is the scripture saying? That as long as this earth is in existence, there is what? There is a divine what on this earth? There is a divine order in this earth. See, God is in charge of this earth. There's seed time and harvest. In other words, a farmer plants a seed and he will harvest from the seed he's planted. As long as this earth endures and exists, there are cold days in the winter and there are warm and hot days in the summer. There's an order. There is summer, there is winter, right? There is spring, summer, fall. There are the four different seasons. There is day, right? And there is night. And they will never cease as long as the earth is in existence. What is the scripture telling us in Genesis 8:22? That the God we serve is a God of divine order. He has this world in order. It is in the palm of his hands. He is concerned about every single detail in this earth. It operates according to a divine order. Day and night. Seed time and harvest. The four seasons. Right? Summer and winter. Cold and heat. So forth and so on. Now, if God's providence is seen in nature and the order of nature, how much more is it evident in human creations which have souls that will live on forever? If the providence of God, the divine order of God, is seen in this earth, according to Genesis 8:22, how much more so is it evident in your life and mine? Human creations with souls that will live on forever one day. If God is concerned about this world, right, about every detail of this world, if he has set a divine order in this world, in this earth, how much more so is he concerned about every detail in your life and mine? Amen? Is that good news? Because we're worth a whole lot more than the trees, right, and the flowers and the grass of the field. Because we have human spirits that will live on and on into eternity. And God is concerned about your life, friends. So let me ask you today, what's causing you anxiety? What's causing you fear? What is causing you worry to think about the same situation over and over again? I'm here to tell you tonight that whatever is causing you anxiety, God knows about it. Whatever is causing you fear and worry, God knows about it. And God is about to intervene on your behalf. Is that good news? Come straight from the scripture. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7, and he writes, he says, cast all your anxiety on him, on God, because he cares for you. Say it again, friends. Cast all of your anxiety, your fear, your worries upon God because he cares for you. There's no use thinking about the same problem over and over and over again. You're using mental energy for no reason. You're robbing yourself of mental energy, thinking about the same thing over and over and over. How am I, in my own human strength, going to solve this problem, this challenge, this trial in my life? I'm here to tell you tonight that God has already seen the problem. He's already got a solution. There is a ram in the thicket. Just trust in God. Amen? Because he cares for you. He's got a solution and a breakthrough around the corner for your life. Amen. Now, let me read you this story. It's called Caller ID. Caller ID. And it shows how God thinks about every single one of us. Isn't it amazing how God works in our lives? On a Saturday night, several weeks ago, the pastor was working late and decided to call his wife before he left for home. It was about 10 p.m., but his wife didn't answer the phone. The pastor let the phone ring many times. He thought it was odd that she didn't answer, but he decided to wrap up a few things and try again in a few minutes. When he tried again, she answered right away. He asked her why she hadn't answered before, and she said that it had not rung in their house. They brushed it off as a fluke and went on their merry ways. Well, the following Monday, the pastor received a call at the church office, which was the phone that he had used the previous Saturday night. The man that he spoke with wanted to know why he had called on Saturday night. The pastor could not figure out what the man was talking about. Then the man said, "It rang and rang, but I did not answer." The pastor remembered the mishap and apologized for disturbing him, explaining that he had intended to call his wife. The man said, "That's okay. Let me tell you my story." Now listen to this. You see, I was planning to commit suicide on Saturday night. But before I did, I prayed, God, if you're there and you don't want me to do this, give me a sign now. At that point, my phone started to ring. I looked at the caller ID and it said, Almighty God. I was afraid to answer. The reason why it showed on the man's caller ID that the call came from Almighty God is because the church that the pastor attends is called Almighty God Tabernacle.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? This man was about to commit suicide. Something in his life was bothering him. He might have been depressed. He might have been in fear, anxiety, a major problem in his life. And God, if you're not wanting me to do this now, give me a sign. And the phone begins to ring. And it says on the caller ID, Almighty God. Isn't that amazing? Friend, God sees ahead in your life. He has already made provision for the problem, for the need. He has already got a solution for the problem you're facing tonight. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares about every single detail of your life. If he's concerned about this earth and he's put order into this earth, how much more so is he concerned for you, his precious creation, with a spirit and a soul that will live on forever? He has seen ahead in your life. He has already made provision like he did for Abraham when he was about to sacrifice his son. He found a ram in the thicket. God had provided in advance. And God is doing it for you. It doesn't matter what you're facing tonight. Maybe it's an addiction. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe an unexpected report. Maybe the loss of a family member, a relationship, the loss of a job, the loss of finances. I'm there to tell you tonight that God has already made provision. He has seen ahead and made provision for your trial, for your need. Amen? Is that good news? We serve a loving God. We serve a caring God. And he cares about every little thing that concerns your life. Now, God wants to provide for your life, but there's a big key. God wants to provide for you, but there's a key. God wants to provide for you, for every need in your life. He wants to provide victory over that addiction, finances for the need, a job. He wants to provide friendship in place of loneliness. He wants to provide joy in place of your depression, but there is a key. There's something that you've got to do. And what is that? What is it?
Pray.
Pray, okay, turn your life over to God. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 10, the original text. Deuteronomy chapter 10. If you want to turn back there, if you have a Bible, if not, I'll refresh us. Deuteronomy 10. And this is what it says. Verses 12 through 22. Talk about fearing God. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. What does this sound like? What is he telling the Israelites to do? He's saying what? He's saying, Israelites, what are you to do? God cares for you. He loves you. But there's something you've got to do. There's something we have to do. What is that? We've got to surrender our lives to God's control. Amen? I've said this before. It bears repeating. God is not obligated to bless anyone. God is not obligated to provide for anyone who is living in rebellion to him. If you're saying to God, God, this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it. God is not obligated to bless that. He's not obligated to provide for that because you're shoving him out of your life. You're saying, God, this is my life. I want to do with my life what I want to do with it. I'm in control. God steps back. His hand of provision is pulled off because you're living in rebellion to him. But we need to fear him as Moses talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And then he says this in verse 16 of Deuteronomy 10. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. What does it mean to circumcise your heart? When a little boy, when a little baby boy is born and they circumcise his foreskin, what is that? What are they doing? They're cutting to do what? To purify, to keep him pure and clean, right? All right. What does it mean to circumcise your heart? Figuratively, it means to keep yourself pure in the sight of God. To be holy as God is holy. And do not be stiff-necked any longer. What does it mean not to be stiff-necked any longer? What does that mean to you?
Rebellious.
What does it mean?
Rebellious.
Not to be rebellious any longer. You see, your life is like an automobile. It's like a car. Who is driving your life tonight? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Or is it you? Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Is it you? Or is it God? If it's you in the driver's seat of your life, guess who wants to be there? Guess who wants to be in the driver's seat of your life? Jesus. God wants to be there. He wants the steering wheel of your life. He wants to be in control of every single detail of your life. God says in His Word, "Be ye therefore holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy." What does that mean? What does that mean to be holy? What does it mean? It means to be set apart, to be separate from sin and set apart unto God. We're to live holy lives, friends. We're to live lives with circumcised hearts, pure hearts. We're to be no longer stiff-necked and rebellious, but we're to be surrendered to God. We're supposed to put up our hands and say, "God, I surrender to you. I give my life to you. Do with my life as you please." Amen? Is that good news? And if you do so, God will provide for you. Philippians chapter 4. Got a Bible? Turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." He'll meet some of your needs. It says, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." What need are you facing tonight in your life? Emotional, psychological, physical, financial, relationship-wise. God wants to meet that need. He cares for you. He wants to provide for your need. He wants to bring a solution to your problem. But guess what? What's the key? We just talked about it. It's doing what? Surrendering. Circumcising your heart. Living a holy life as God is holy. Being no longer stiff-necked. Saying, "God, I just want to push you out of my life. I want to do with my life what I want to do with it." No, God is not going to bless that. It's like your child, for instance, or somebody you love, a blood relative. If they're like, "You know what? Just get out of my life. I want nothing to do with you." They slap you in the face and say, "Never call me again." But then when they're facing a need, they call you. What do you say? It's like, "Are you kidding me? You just slapped me in the face. You told me to never call you again. You pushed me out of your life. And now you've got this need in your life and you're calling me for help." The first natural human reaction is like, no. And we're to walk in forgiveness, that's true. But it's just put yourself in the shoes of God sometimes. You know, some people slap God in the face and say, "God, just get out." No, God can't bless that. God blesses a humble spirit, a surrendered soul, one who is submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Be stiff-necked no longer. Are you speaking out of your mouth godly words, Bible words, or the words of the world? Four-lettered words. See what I'm talking about? Who are you hanging out with, relationship-wise? With those that are dragging you down spiritually, doing drugs and alcohol and looking at things they shouldn't? Or are you hanging out with those who are living godly lives? Making sense? Making sense tonight? Okay. Are you hanging around people that don't want to work and just mope around all the time? Or are you associating with those who are trying to do something with their life? Amen? Are you hanging around people that are bitter at other people? If you do so, you'll become bitter. Question is, what are your associations like? He's talking about holiness in every area of your life. Making Jesus Christ Lord over every area of your life. Your mind, your spirit, your emotions, every single part of you. What does Lord mean? What does Lord mean?
Ruler.
Ruler, the one in charge of every single part of your life. If you make Jesus Lord over your life and submit to His lordship and you surrender to God, then God will provide for your needs because He cares for you. He sees ahead and He makes provision. Amen? Is that making sense tonight? The providence of God in all of creation.